Title of today's sermon is entitled, Some Lessons for Life. Now, there are many, of course, but I'm just going to give you some here, some lessons for life. And I know in the sermonette, Andy mentioned there, and also there in the opening prayer, about commitment. You know, when we hear the word commitment, you know, for us to be totally committed about something, you know, it's probably the first word that comes in our mind is marriage. You know, marriage is a commitment, and that is broken, of course, by the death of one or both of the spouses. And we know that we are the called that are in training. We're in training right now for what? To be the bride of Christ. And that marriage commitment with Christ will last forever. In our human marriages, it's only in our physical lifetime. But the marriage to Christ will last forever. Now, when we were called, you know, we just didn't, you know, sit down one day and think, well, you know, I'm going to be a Christian, you know, and be a follower of Christ because that would be the intellectual thing to do. No, we didn't do that. None of us did. Because, you know, from Jesus' own words, let's turn to John 6:44. John 6:44, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." We have to be drawn to know about Christ. "And I will raise him up in the last day." In verse 45, it is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." God the Father does the calling, and then Jesus Christ will work with us. And the training that we're getting today is the most important training of our entire lives. God the Father has called us to teach us His way of everlasting life, and He will choose who will be the bride. He is picking the bride for His Son, Jesus. He is going to be picking the bride depending on how well we have learned our lessons, how well we apply those in our life. Every year at this time of the year, you know, before we take the Passover, we are told to examine ourselves. Well, why should we examine ourselves? You know, we have already been baptized, had hands laid on us. What else is there to do? Well, a whole lot. Some may ask, you know, why? Because God the Father wants to see how we are doing. How we are doing. He wants to see how we're living. Wants to see how we're thinking. Wants to see how well we love other people. Are we taking the life lessons and using them to overcome our human nature? You know, once you learn about God's truth and learn in our Bible study and prayers and have that relationship with God, every year we can look onto our human nature and really want to throw up. It is horrible. Our human nature is horrible. And our human nature leads to death. You know, and we are keeping our commitment to God that we are going to be changed in what we are doing. We're going to do our part to show Him that we are learning the lessons that He is teaching us. First of all, we have to settle it in our minds that we will strive to use these lessons of life and to use them throughout the rest of our life. Our life is very finite, very, very small, very, very short, really a blink of the eye. I know each of us can think, well, you know, I was in high school just the other day. And then the next thing you know, you're retiring from your job. And next thing you're looking at your grandkids that can run faster than you, you know, and just all sorts of things. And this life is short, extremely short. But we need to spend the rest of our lives with the lessons that God is teaching us, living in absolute harmony with God the Father and Jesus Christ. absolute harmony. We have to take the pattern of Jesus Christ, His example, and then we start with the Ten Commandments, the basis of God's laws of love, His laws of love, the Ten Commandments, and we need to be living by those with His kind of love for others. Now, when we take the Passover, we have the foot washing service. And what did Jesus teach? He got them together, he took a towel, he girded himself, and he started washing their feet. And they were all astonished. You know, why are you washing our feet? He says, well, you don't understand it yet, but you will. And is what he was teaching for us to be humble, servants with love for other people, to do for others more than ourselves. That's what he was teaching. That's the kind of love that God the Father has. He is love. He serves us. He loves us. And we are to be like Jesus Christ. And we are to serve others and have that same kind of love that God the Father and Jesus does. You know, and if we want to show God that we are really doing His will, you know, we need to be doing that humble thing of having that right attitude of being a servant of and really showing it. You know, that this is just not something that you put in the back of your mind and you think, oh yeah, I love this one and this one, this one, this one, and the rest of them as well too, and just take it for granted like that. You know, it's in our actions. It's how we live. It's what we do. We need to be serving others, taking care of them, thinking of them far better than ourselves. The life of Christ, as I just mentioned, is our example to copy. And out of God's mercy, you know, out of His mercy and His great love for us, down through the generations, He picks certain ones that He's going to call out, that will have the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. You have to think about it. You have to let it soak in there a little bit. He handpicked us and called us for a very, very special mission in this physical life. A very special mission. We are being trained to have the very character of God. The very character of God is what we are being trained for. This is our special mission. And He sets us in the body of Christ to learn His lessons of life. And we are being tested to see just how willing we are in using what we are learning. Are we sticking it on the shelf? Are we putting it in the back of our minds? As I mentioned in a couple sermons before, you know, God looks on our hearts. And we know that the heart is deceitful above all things. We know that. And our mind is getting all this stimuli from this crazy world that we're living in. And the imprint that goes onto our heart is what God reads. He takes a look at us. He wants to see how we're doing. Are we changing? Or are we still living and staying in our base human nature? As a good parent, and we know our Creator God is our parent, God loves to give His children blessings, wonderful blessings. Just take a look at the rest of the world, all the different countries that are around the world, and you can watch on the news at night, and they will show the poverty, people living on little houseboats that they have made out of planks of wood, and they drink the water from right there, and it's just a horrible thing. This country that we live in, God has blessed us immensely. He has blessed us personally. He blesses us even more, of course, as we are obedient to Him and doing His will and living by His law of love, caring for one another, praying for one another. But He enjoys giving His children blessings because He truly loves us. God is going to reap a harvest of humans. He's building his family. And out of the billions of people that are on the face of the earth, I think there's probably around 7 billion right now. But down through the ages, just think of all the ones that have lived and died. And there is not really a whole lot, if you were counting the numbers, to see just how many that God picked out of each, you know, generation. And we're in this generation right now. We are called. We know we have God's truth. We have his master plan of salvation. The rest of the world doesn't have this. And they would pay big money for it if they only knew what it really was. Again, he truly loves us, and his desire for us is to not only enjoy the riches that he blesses us with here physically, and we need to be extremely thankful for those, but is where he really wants us to be rich. He wants us to be rich in obedience to him and have a real involvement in his way of life. That's what he really wants. That's where he wants us to really be rich. Really rich in obedience to him and to be used by him to teach others and to care for others and to show the way, God's way of life. And we know that is what we're hoping for, of course, is to be changed to a spirit. You know, this temporary life that we live in, is full of all kinds of woes and problems and everything. A lot of heartache. But can you imagine graduation day when Jesus Christ will return, and if we have been overcomers that he has taught us to be, what a wonderful day that will be to be changed, to drop this human flesh that we live in that is corruptible and be changed to a spirit being as God the Father and Jesus Christ are. Well, all the way through this, from the lessons that we are learning and living by, it takes our total commitment completely. And as we live our lives, we can expect correction along the way. Yeah, you know, and as a good father, God is leading us and he wants the best for us. And he will and does correct us as he should. Just like our own kids. I know Mr. Keller's, you know, he uses his son David quite a bit in sermons. And he mentioned one time when David was a real little boy and he told him not to get near the street. And David can relate this to you. I think he still remembers it. But he took his foot and he went to the edge of the street like that. And instantly his dad went out there and got a hold of him and corrected him. And I think he still remembers that. But as a good father, we can expect to be corrected. You know, and as parents, us, you know, we have all said to our children, you know, you can make it easy on yourself or you can make it hard. You know, the choice is yours. You can make it easy on yourself or you can make it hard. You can be obedient to your parents, you can be obedient to God. It's the same way. We can make it easy or we can make it hard. And this life is full of choosing. Many, many choices constantly all day long. We want to be doing our Bible study. We want to be praying. We want to be seeking on our own what we need to correct in our lives. You know, that's part of the examination that we do before the Passover. Before the Passover, we are to examine ourselves and see what needs to be corrected. You know, we don't want to gloss over it. In fact, make a physical list with pen and paper. Write down. This is something personal you can write down and put it in your own pocket. You don't have to broadcast it. That's between you and God. Write down what you need to be correcting in your life, that some of the things that you keep doing over and over again that you need help on. Pray to God to send his Holy Spirit to help you overcome whatever that problem may be. Anything that is contrary to God's law. Anything that is contrary to not you giving and showing love to others. But we all need correction throughout this life. God, again, has given us a finite time to do this work of correcting and learning and being obedient to Him. We need to take advantage of it. We don't want to wait on seeking out what our own correction ought to be. We don't want to have to wait until God has to administer a very harsh correction to get our attention. And why does He do that? The same way that we do as parents. Because we love our kids. We love our children. We want the best for them. And God the Father and Jesus Christ wants the best for us. Jesus tells us in Luke 18:17, you don't have to turn there, but jot it down if you will. Luke 18, verse 17, he makes it very, very plain here just where our place is and what our attitude and frame of mind should be. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, by no means will enter it." Jesus made it very, very plain, very, very plain, that we're going to have to realize that we're not rough and tough and hard to bluff, like I have mentioned many times before, but we are little children that need to be led. We need to be corrected. We need to be humble enough to take that correction from our Father. Take that correction. He wants the best for us. What is the best? To eventually be in His family and to be in His coming kingdom. That's where He wants us to be. And if He has to allow us to skin our knees and get all sorts of correction to get our attention so that we will cry out to Him, He will do it. Why? Because He loves us. You know, that's what the tribulation is all about as well, too. You know, for all those lukewarm people that just really didn't have the respect to be totally committed to God's way, God is going to bring a tribulation on this world to get everybody's attention. Everybody's going to know that He is God, and they're going to have to cry out to Him, "Please help me. I am sorry. Please save me." We have to be willing to have respect for our parents, you know, and to honor them and to honor God as well. We look, as little kids, we look to our parents as they are God. If mom and daddy says it's okay, we think it's okay. And of course, maybe we grow up and get older and God calls us and we learn differently. But we need to honor our parents, and we are honoring God and having the respect for Him by being obedient to Him. And we want to do this without talking back or trying to justify our disobedience. We don't want to talk back and try to justify our disobedience. In the book of Revelation, Jesus was speaking to the church of Laodicea. And they were known to be a group of people that talked back. And, of course, they were trying to justify their lack of obedience and commitment to God. The Laodiceans did not have the respect or the willingness, that's a big key there too, the willingness to either be hot or cold. They did not have a childlike attitude. They were thinking on their own and thought that they knew better. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 14. Jesus is speaking here, and He says, "To the angel, to the church of Laodicea, write, these things says the Amen," speaking there of Jesus, "the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works," He says. "I know how you live, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot." You know, either be one way or the other here. "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Have nothing to do with you." Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, totally in sin, is what he's talking about here. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Now, that's where the riches are. It's not in these perishable trinkets that we have here on this earth, thinking that, hey, it was me. I went out there and worked on the job and daylight to dark, and look what I got for it. No, no, no. He's talking about real riches here. He's talking about refined in the fire, in the test, in the trials, in the corrections, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see, have that understanding. As I mentioned earlier, there are people that would pay big money to know God's master plan and his truth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, what should we do? We should be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent of our sins. Don't let human nature overtake you. Don't let Satan slap you around and beat you up with it. Be zealous and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you have an interest, if you have a willingness to want to obey God, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You know, you can read through the churches as they are listed, and you can see yourself in the attitudes of each one of them if you look real hard there. But we have to have that willingness to want to be obedient to God. The lukewarm so-called Christian, they feel very comfortable in justifying their less than total commitment. And they will find fault and want to criticize everything that's in the church and in their lives and the things that they have and don't have, things that they're jealous of that other people have. You know, a lukewarm person really doesn't have any foundation to even stand on. As Jesus was saying there, I mean, they are naked and don't even know it. And they like to criticize, and they like to spread rumors. They like to talk about other people. They like to do all of the things of the human nature mindset. The book of Malachi shows us some examples of a lukewarm attitude. Let's turn to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament there. Let's turn to Malachi 1. Malachi 1, let's read verses 6 through 8 to start with. 6 through 8. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, speaking of God here, if I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, if God is the master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? He's talking to the priest here, but he's also talking to each one of us. Attitudes like that would fit every human. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Verse 7, you offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. You know, back when they were doing the the animal sacrifices, you know, for their offerings. You know, some of them would say, well, you know, I'm not going to bring in my best heifer. I'm not going to bring in my most choice sheep. I'm not going to bring those in. But the one that, you know, ran through the bushes and poked his eye out, I will bring that one. Or the one that got his foot caught in a crevice and broke his foot, I'll bring that one in as an offering. Those are defiled offerings. Let's go to verse 8 there. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, talking about the animals here, is it not evil? You know, is it evil to treat God that way? Yes, it is. And when you offer the lame and the sick animals, isn't that not evil? Yes, it is. Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? God deserves and wants our best. He wants me and you to be having that relationship with him. Well, we're in constant contact with him. We're in constant prayer, all of our waking hours with him. We are allowing him to lead us and to protect us and to take care of us and to fight our battles for us. You know, when we worry about things and take on our own problems, we're headed for disaster. We need to be obedient to God. The only thing that can separate us, of course, is our sins from God. But we need to be obedient to God to where we can turn to him and say, take care of this for me. I can't handle it. He wants us to depend on him to take care of us. Let's go to verse 9, read on through verse 9 through 11. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors? You know, he's talking about the temple doors there is what he's talking about where the sacrifices were made. So that you would not kindle fire on my altar, you know, to even try to give an offering. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept your offerings from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, he says here, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord. It will be done. We can make it easy, or we can make it hard. Choice is ours. Our Father, our Creator God, is to be honored and feared among all nations. You know, and then we're not going to read it, but in Malachi chapter 2, it shows that the people had an argumentative attitude about them regarding marriage. And in chapter 3, they disagreed about their financial obligations. In each case, they were only what? They were only lukewarm. They were wishy-washy people. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation that we just read, Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. If you are not cold or hot, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God wants to know, Jesus wants to know, if we are on fire with respect for him or not. You know, at baptism, by our own words and actions, we said, I have repented of my sins, I have turned from them, and I have totally accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to pay for my sins. And I want to be taught by God his way of everlasting life. You know, we say that at our baptism. Yes, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to follow for the rest of my life. We make those commitments at baptism. God expects us to keep them. You know, and at that very moment at baptism, What were we? We were childlike. That's the very moment we had a childlike attitude. That was the moment when our commitment was hot. And for us to continue being hot, we must live our commitment. We can't be wavering. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't be vacillating back and forth with our own human nature. We were to give that up. Our commitment and obedience to God, we have to do that all the days of our life. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. Back in the New Testament here. Hebrews chapter 10, let's read verses 36 through 38. Therefore, do not cast away... Whoops, let's see, I'm in the wrong one here. I got the right page here. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming, speaking of Jesus Christ, of course, will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. No pleasure at all. We can't draw back. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't be lukewarm. Our eternal life is at stake. We are told to live by faith. And that means that we are to live totally believing in the sacrifice of Jesus, knowing that he has come and lived in the flesh, just like us. He knows all the pulls and all the heartache and all the emotional things. Been there, done that. Like us, for the purpose of being our Savior is why he came, and also to bring the good news of God's coming kingdom. Brought God's coming kingdom that he preached about and taught. And then he knew that his time had come to be the sacrifice, to pay the price for the sins of all mankind once and for all. All of the collective sins of all humans. And it's very personal to each one of us. Because we're all sinners. We sin every day. We need to repent every day. Living by faith means that we trust and truly believe that God will do all that he says he will do. We can trust him. He created the universe. He has no reason to lie. He wants to bring us into his family to live forever. What a wonderful, wonderful plan that he has for us. What a wonderful opportunity he is offering us. We need to be taking advantage of every second of the daylight hours that we have. Again, God's judgment is on us today. Right now. We are the called. We are the ones that's being judged right now. And in 1 Peter 4:17, we are told that the time has come for judgment to begin on the house of God. Yeah. How are we doing? What have we learned? Are we living by it? Have we putting it into practice? Are we loving others better than ourselves? Are we being a servant? And it's God's desire that we make it into his family, into his kingdom. He has called us and he wants us to be his sons and his daughters. Most churches of the world, they think that they know God's truth and they haven't been called yet, so we really can't, you know, come down too hard on them there. But they still sing the song. I know I turn on the TV sometime and I scan through the channels of 51 through 55, I believe it is there. And you can still hear some of the old hymns that they sing. One of the old hymns they sing is "Just as I Am." And the worst part about it is that's what their minister is preaching. Come just as you are. That's all you got to be. Jesus paid the price, nailed it on the tree, and that's that. You know, they still think that they can come to God and still be living a sinful life and think that they can be accepted by God. Again, they haven't been called yet. They don't know. But we do. We can't just stay as we are. We won't be accepted by God. That's not going to happen. God is patient with all of us humans, but for us to enter into his family and kingdom, something's got to happen. There's got to be a great change in our lives. Can't do it on our own, but with God's Holy Spirit living in us and being obedient to him and doing what he wants us to do, through the power of his Holy Spirit, we can overcome our flesh, our human nature. And we can be growing in God's character. His very character is what he wants us to be like. In his kingdom, none will offend. We must be like him. We must be living, practicing living in God's character now. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Let's turn a few pages to 2 Peter. A few pages forward there. 2 Peter 3. 9 through 15. Let's take a look at that. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 15. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That change I was talking about? Turn from sin. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Again, how should we be? We can make it easy, or we can make it hard. How should we be in holy contact and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt it with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's the way we should be looking and thinking. Are we living that? Are we right? Are we right in obeying God? Are we righteous? Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking toward these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Don't have any conflict with anybody. Any problems that you have had with anybody in the past, get rid of them. They are gone. Yesterday is gone. A second ago is gone. We've got to be looking forward. Looking forward with peace in our mind with everyone. Without spot or and blameless. That's the way we need to be. Verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Talk about a changed person that repented. We all know the story on the road to Damascus with Paul. I mean, he was really living as the sheriff. You know, he even went to the Sanhedrin and got papers where he could go out and arrest so-called Christians, and he could bring them back to Jerusalem for chastisement and trial and put in jail and whatever. He was really doing some things. And God struck him down and got his attention real quick with blindness there on the road to Damascus. Talk about repentance. What a change that guy made. You take a look at the contrast of him then, and then look at the lessons in writing that he was taught by God to teach us. What a contrast that is. Again, God's judgment is on us today. And we are to be thinking about that, that God's desire is for us to make it into his family. We need to be thinking about that. In closing, you know, all of our human living and distractions that we live in this crazy world right now, we have so much wrong stimuli. Like Andy Luck was talking there, you know, about the laws that they are passing about bathrooms for everybody and all these crazy things that's going on in this world. All these things that we are trying to be distracted with because Satan is in rule right now and he's trying his best to throw us off to keep us from overcoming and being obedient to God, especially us because we are the called ones. We are the ones that are being picked out. We are the ones that God is going to examine. He's going to look at our hearts. He's choosing the bride of Christ. He's not going to choose wrongly. We have to be on our toes every waking moment and stay in constant prayer and contact with our Heavenly Father, asking Him for His help. Do not try to do this on your own. It won't work. You have to have God living in you and being with you every second of every day. If you want trouble, try it on your own. You can make it easy or you can make it hard. We need to ask God for help in showing us our sins, our shortcomings, and what we need to be changing in our lives. We need to have a humble heart, asking Him to grant us repentance and strength, again, through His Holy Spirit, so that we can be overcomers and have the very character of God, which is what it's going to take for us to be in His coming kingdom. We need to have His Holy Spirit and character living in us. And we can do this by holding on and living by the lessons of life. The lessons of life that God the Father is teaching us. Good to see everybody. Have a good Passover.